and the beginning of the season of Advent, when we anticipate the coming of our Lord in human flesh. It seemed that within a day or two of Remembrance Day, Christmas trees appeared in store windows, and already now Christmas gifts are being exchanged and workplace parties are taking place, and yes, even Christmas music, I heard the other day, is starting to be played on radios, and those Christmas ads are appearing on our television. I had the opportunity to meet many people in my counseling work this week who are already feeling stressed and anxious about all the tasks that have to be completed, from attending Christmas plays where their children attend school, to meeting all the usual expectations of hosting and visiting and fulfilling the traditions of the season. So with this in mind, I thought it might be appropriate for us to consider the extent to which we become engulfed in a new syndrome, which psychologists say affects millions of people in our postmodern world. A syndrome called OCC, an acronym for being out of control. And I add the C to it because I think there are a lot of out-of-control Christians that are living in our world. This syndrome, which awaits high achievers who burn themselves out trying to acquire various degrees, it's a syndrome which affects every parent as they attempt to juggle swim practice, hockey games, music lessons, work deadlines, grocery shopping, house cleaning, laundry, lawn and garden maintenance, dental appointments, and yet all together they come and walk into this place on Sunday morning. It is a syndrome that affects all of us when we try to fit more and more activities into less and less time. And by the end, we find ourselves in a total state of disarray. From socks on the floor, underwear under beds, and sheets that haven't been changed for months, an inability to concentrate, and a haggard look we carry everywhere we go. Are you an out-of-control Christian? Do you suffer from OCC? Here are a list of 7 symptoms which affect those with the syndrome of OCC. See how many apply to you. 1, you can't relax. There is too much to do, and it all has to be done now or yesterday. 2, you can't enjoy quiet. Are you one of those people caught in the rush-rush syndrome? If a moment of silence does occur, you instantly pick up your cell phone and check who has been contacting you. This week, I visited my doctor, and as I sat in the waiting room, every person in the room was on their phone. What happened to the opportunity to just sit and do nothing, even while we wait for a doctor's appointment? 3, another symptom is that you never feel satisfied with what you have. No matter what you've got, what you've done, where you've been, it's never enough. You are always feeling discontent, always comparing what you have with what your neighbor has. 4, you can't get anything finished. Work is never finished, so there is never time to have fun. No time to spend a night out with your wife, or to take your son and daughter to a concert or on that fishing trip. Lists get written, but as quickly as tasks are done, more tasks appear on the list. How many of you have a list? And it never gets empty. 5, you constantly need approval and yet feel overworked. So many people feel compelled to please others, but they fail to recognize that in the pleasing others, they neglect their own need to such an extent that they finally hit the wall and can no longer function due to burnout. Number six, underneath the calm, you're ready to explode. We all know people like that. There might even be someone here today that feels like that. Where you appear capable of handling anything, every stress, every strain, every worry, you're always there for everyone else. Only to suddenly lose it, or have a meltdown, or as some people say, a hissy fit. And you just explode all this stress, suddenly having to be vented out as an explosion. And it's difficult for us as Christians because we're kind of taught that we should give for others first and ourselves last. But if you really think about the Christian message, God wants us to love Him first, but we can only give out to others if we love ourselves. And loving ourselves means that we have to live a life in balance. We can't work all the time. We can't be there for everybody. We have to focus on us at some point and say, when is enough enough? When do I need to just stop and care for me? And number seven, you've got to win at all cost. You aren't happy unless you are successful. And the world tells us this. It says, you can have it all for a price. But it is a lie. No one can have it all without a very, very dear price. And I see those people when I do my counseling. So are you an out-of-control Christian? God did not create us to have haggard, busy bodies. Instead, are instructed to seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him because He is near. When we invest our time with God by praying to Him and telling Him what worries us, when we meditate on the promises that He has given us, and when we read His Word, we are going to be safeguarded against OCC. Secondly, when we commit to a weekly time of being still, we will combat the symptom of OCC. For some people, being still time happens when they wake in the morning. For others, it's during their lunch hour break. And for some people, it's when they seek a quiet time before bed. Be still time cannot occur with a phone or a television remote in your hand. Be still time needs to be free of all digital devices. Research has shown that when children and teens experience 1 hour of digital free media before bedtime, they sleep 50% better. And so when I'm working with parents, I often ask them, how much digital time are you exposing your children to before bedtime? Because it will influence their ability to sleep. How many of us go to bed with our phone in our bed with us? It can be a problem. Have any of you noticed how difficult it is to find a place to sit a while where there isn't any human noise? Now, I know that there are some farmers in this congregation, and I am sure that you have found some quiet places where there's no human noise. But I was meeting with a farmer this week, and he told me that he never has silence because he has the radio on in the tractor where he's combining in his field. We have to search for places where we can be quiet. See, my voice just doesn't want to do this. but we need to commit to weekly be still time. Nature often offers us a place of quiet and solitude, but how often in our daily lives do we pause to watch the sun rise or the sun set? Sit and look out a window at the nature landscape all around us and just sit and be still. Scripture instructs us to do this. So this week I challenge you to take some time to be still and just sit. Thirdly, humble ourselves before God. If you make it through the journey of life set before you, it will not be because of you. It'll be because of God. If you fail, you stumble and fall because you've made a mistake, and you pick yourself up and continue to walk the life that God has set before you, God doesn't think any less of you. He just loves you that much more and longs to be there to help you. God wants to be your burden bearer, and he waits for you to ask for his help. Listen again to the words of Luke 12 that Nancy read to us, but from a different version of the Bible, the Message. He continued the subject with his disciples. Don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes, or if the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more of your inner life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outward appearance than the clothes hanging on your body. Look at the ravens, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, carefree in the care of God. And you count far more. Has anyone by fussing before the mirror ever gotten taller by as much as an inch? If fussing can't even do that, why fuss at all? Walk into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They don't fuss with their appearance, but have you seen the color and design that is within them? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the wildflowers, most of them never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax and not be so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. Can I read that again to you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, not to be so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep yourself in God's reality, God's initiative, God's provisions. You'll find all your human day human concerns will be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. Be generous. Give to the poor. Get yourselves a bank that won't go bankrupt. A bank in heaven, far from bank robbers, safe from embezzlers. A bank that you can bank on. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Are you an OCC? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. I want to conclude with a story. Before refrigerators, people used ice boxes to preserve their food. Do any of you remember ice boxes? Yeah, my grandparents had one. Ice houses had thick walls, no windows, and tightly fitting doors. In winter, when streams and lakes were frozen, large blocks of ice were cut, hauled to the ice house, and covered with sawdust. Often the ice would last well into the summer. One man lost a valuable watch while working in an ice house. He searched diligently for it, carefully raking through the sawdust, but he didn't find it. His fellow workers also looked, but their efforts too appeared to be futile. One small boy who heard about the fruitless search slipped into the ice house during the noon hour and soon emerged with the watch. Amazed, the men asked him how he found it. "I closed the door," the boy replied, "lay down in the sawdust, and kept very still. Soon I heard it." As we prepare to enter the season of Advent, we have a choice to make. Will we choose to live as an OCC, being all things to all people? Or will we choose to be still and know that God is with us? Let's pause here, despite the noise we can hear from the children below, for a moment, and ponder anew the gift of love and care that God, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, offers us. Let's turn now and sing "There Is a Balm in Gilead."
Thank you.
us bow our heads, let us pray. Lord God, we come to you as our God, seeking to find you as we struggle with the realities of life. No matter what age we are, we seem to feel stressed out by life. Worries and cares cloud our minds and cause us to forget that you are standing right beside us. You know about the McIntosh family and the losses they have suffered this week. And you know about Natasha and Gavin and their little baby that is waiting to come into this world. You know about illness and pain. You know about disease and sorrow. You know about war and rumors of war. You know about gossip and criticism. You even know about our family conflicts and those friends who have betrayed us. We call to you, Lord, and we ask that you would help us. We need your help. This world needs your help. This community needs your help. Use us as your people to speak a message of hope to those in despair, a message of encouragement to those who are suffering, and a message of love to those who are earnestly seeking to find you. Lord, we pray that you will bless each person who is here today. And we also pray for all those who are absent from us, yet a part of this body of Christ. Be with those who are traveling and keep them safe, and return them to their homes with joy and renewal. As we prepare to enter the season of Advent, help us to pause and listen to the heartbeat of your love for us. Help us to prepare for this upcoming season of celebration as we take time to be still and know that you are our God. And we pray it in Christ's name, remembering the words that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. And I am going to invite the ushers to come forward as we give to the Lord our morning tithes and offerings. Thank you.
gifts that have been given, we pray that you would take them and multiply them and use them so that many people in this world will hear the good news that you are a God who wants to help us in the worries of life that come. Remind us to be still and to know you as our God, even when it comes to the financial worries of our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. And let us continue our worship as we close our service with a hymn. We praise you, O God. Jesus has done for us as our Savior and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh, it's still going.